Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
We had some exciting exercises over the weekend.
Yes.
And let me read them out. So the first one from Friday, our definition of subpersonality or aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs and assumptions and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you, and from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview. Record and listen what you see. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month. And here are the examples. Stressed worldview language and projections are, it's too hard, it's overwhelming, I can't do this, it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way, I can't stand it, my body is tense and tight, I feel irritable and angry. And then on the 9th, which was a Saturday, draw portraits of the aspects of ego you have seen. Jot down what each says. Record and listen. And on Sunday, go back and review the conversation in your head that you have jotted down about this issue to see if there are any voices you've not captured. Example, missing voice. I really want to exercise. You should exercise. RL, what you see. All right. Shall we hear from our first caller?
Nowhere to hide.
Nowhere to hide.
All right.
Here we go.
Thank you. All right.
Our first caller, you're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Julian from Portland.
Hey, Julian.
Hey, nice to talk to you guys.
What are you seeing?
I had an interesting moment the other day. I decided I wanted to try baking some bread because part of my sort of self-care is to take more time with what I'm eating and cooking and preparing. And I noticed that so many sub-personalities were sort of flying in at once, like, you've got to do this perfectly, or why are you making bread? That's not even good for you. Or you don't have time for this. And by the end, I didn't know whether to eat the bread or throw it away or give it away. It was like, no wonder I can't get anything done. There's so many opinions about what I'm doing.
Yes, yes. And just from the ones you laid out, all of them pretty negative.
Yeah, a lot of them pretty
right?
negative.
You didn't hit the one, if you're ever around little kids, at around age 4, 5, 6, something like that, they love to be in the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. They love to make stuff. None of those came forth because it sounds like they were probably elbowed out of the way by all of these.
Right.
You can't do this. This is a waste of time. Much older person opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I suspect that there was initially some, like, excitement and a thought of this seems like a nice activity, something I could do for myself that would be good. And that sort of gets covered up as I start to do the activity.
Yes, yes. And if nothing else, and to me this is the biggest part of it, it's a great way to be with you.
Yeah.
Right? You're there. You're in your kitchen. You're focused on taking care of you. This is something that occurred to you that would be good for you to do. It's a wonderful way to have quality time with the human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets taken away in a big hurry.
Yeah, it really does. And I think asking the question now, since starting to do these assignments of who's here right now, it's just incredibly helpful because it stops me from making the assumption that, you know, whatever I'm hearing is just true. It's like, well, wait a minute,
yes.
who's here and what are they saying? And that's
right.
I mean, honestly, that's pretty revolutionary for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for anybody, for the vast majority of human beings on the planet. So what you're pointing at is that the assumption we live in is that I'm here. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're seeing is, until you ask that question, probably not.
Yeah.
And that in order to ask that question, you've had to step back into awareness, right? In order to step back from Julian there in the kitchen, step back and ask, well, now, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And at that point, when you step back like that, now you're actually in a position, first of all, to hear all of that, to see all of that unfold, and to have even that experience, one that takes care of you.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I can see, I really can see the care in just the noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're really there, and you're taking care of that human being in a far deeper, greater... Baking bread is a little representation of it.
Yeah.
But being present to disidentifying from all that ego stuff, to step back and actually support the authentic human being in being present in life, that's huge.
Yeah.
Kind of whole deal.
It really is. It's and the assignments are so helpful. I just have a little printer set up in my living room and print them out every morning. It's such a good way to start the day. So.
And I project that as you continue to look at this, you're going to start encountering the folks who are actually really excited about this.
Yeah.
Who love it, right?
I welcome them. I'm ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on, folks.
Yeah, come on out.
Come on, folks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, thanks so much to everyone.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, Julian.
Thanks, Julian. You know, Sherry, what was dropping in for me during that conversation is the exercise around go back over the conversation and see the voices you've missed. And the example we gave is the voice of the person who wants to exercise.
Yeah.
And that's what I think you were pointing to. I mean, we had that same experience while we were going through this retreat, that part of what gets overridden in all of this, the first set of ego voices, is that we hear from the aspects of ego, but we don't hear from the aspects of life. And that we really have to stay with it, disidentify, to get in touch with the impulse that actually drove this arising. Whatever it was, I love this human being and I want to bake bread. It's, as you said, an embodiment of being present with existence through an activity of through an activity that invites presence. And then the voices come in to take us away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I picture the kind of young, innocent, enthusiastic little people that we were originally, who would go, oh, bake bread. Oh, I want to do that. And then what happened to us in life is that just got squashed. So after enough years, it seems like the negativity is our first response, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. It's a reaction against that innocent, delighted enthusiasm.
Yes, that is so true.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Hi, it's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
Well, hello.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I remembered, though, to call you earlier because your clocks have gone forward and ours haven't, so done really well. So it's a bit earlier than it would be normally.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's right. So
yeah.
What time is it?
It's normally 5 o'clock tea time.
Yeah.
But it's 4 o'clock.
We get you in a commute.
No, I don't work on Mondays.
Oh, how nice.
I know, it's wonderful. So I've done virtual meditation as well at the correct time.
Mm-hmm.
I get that time wrong so many times anyway, so but yeah. It's all good.
Uh-huh. At least we're all here together.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're all here now. The topic that I chose was taking a break at work, which I've been really struggling with. I used to be able to, but there's been changes at work, one of which has included my job has merged and I've got extra responsibilities. And so for a couple of days, literally, I'm doing something all day long. I'm very busy on the other days, but on two of the days on my lunch break, I'm covering for a wheelchair user. But because work is so busy and there's a lot of stress at work, I really, really want to have a meditation break. On Friday, like for the first time in absolute ages, I'm in a really big staff room now. But I just sat down and put my headphones on and listened to my recordings and looked at the year-long retreat notes that I've been doing. And I did that for an entire 30 minutes. And that was on Friday. So that was really, really fantastic.
How were you able to do that? I mean, did you just make up your mind and say, this is what I'm doing?
Instead of listening
to voices that would say, no, you're too busy. You've got to go do this. You've got to do this. You've got to do this.
It was one of the assignments. I can't remember which one it was now. It was one of the earlier ones, and it was one of the earlier assignments. And for some reason, I can't remember. I think it was listening to what the voices said about it. One of the earlier ones, day three or day four. And after I finished, I don't have time, et cetera, et cetera. It just came into my head what I could do. So, yeah, I can't go and sit down and meditate. So I realized I've been battling against this. I can't go and sit. There's nowhere. It's never going to happen. And then it just came in. Do you know what? Just sit at your desk. Pretend that you're working. No one will know. I had headphones on anyway to block out. And you were working.
You were working.
Well, I was working.
It's a different definition of work. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. And it just came to me that this is an awesome meditation break. You know, it's fantastic. And it was really nice. I loved it. So, yeah. Yeah.
You can do that going forward then. As long as you stay on top of the voices and keep using it as awareness practice. And I just love that. So you're doing the assignments and you're aware of the voices and how they've been able to control you. Yeah. And then because you're present, as we were talking about with Julian, because you're disidentified from that, even if all we get is a split second of disidentification, the solution drops in.
Yeah.
And then you recognize it, you realize, well, yeah, that'll work. And you do it.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the key steps, right?
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. And I've got a reminder on so many different things to do that, and it reminds me from 11:30 till 2:30 so that I can catch something. And when I'm with my wheelchair user, we'll see how that works. that'll be tomorrow actually. So
So now you need to apply that same process.
Yeah.
Of being really aware of what the voices are telling you, because it's going to up the, well, okay, that was fine on Friday because you weren't doing that. But now, in this situation, well, you can't do that anymore because you just can't do that anymore. And now you know that there is a solution, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to be watching for it. You're going to be open to it.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, I love it. It's so exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting. It is. It's very exciting. So I'll report back.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, Sangha. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Anna. It seems to be the theme, Sherry, that part of what we're also learning to calibrate to is the still small voice, not just the voice.
Yes.
But when the awareness, when we are attention on awareness in this identification, actually gives us the information.
Yes. Yeah. That's probably the most thrilling part of all, isn't it? And mm-hmm. to know that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
That still small mm-hmm. voice is always there, and we are learning to listen, be more present, pay closer attention, and hear it. And then the next piece with Anna is do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do what the still small voice guides us to do.
And that, I think, is the training in practice, right? The execution of the intention that we hold ourselves to, because it's in the execution that we transform what we listen to and believe and act from.
Yes. Yes, because that's how we get our proof that what the voices are saying is not true.
And we have our lives.
Yeah. Well, there is that too, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of living ego's life, we get to live our life, the real life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jan in Pennsylvania.
Well, hello, hey, Jan.
Hello. I'm so glad this has started again. I missed this a lot. It's great great to be doing this again. Oh,
happy to be here.
Happy to be here, exactly. Yes. Yeah. I've been watching a lot that still small voice piece. Like, I've been in this thing around the year long so far that I think at first what was happening was there was a lot of attention on the voices of, you haven't picked something for self-care, you need to pick the right thing, you're not doing it, you know, the you, and being in this kind of feeling bad and freaking out that I wasn't doing it right, and, you know, all those kind of typical. It was last year that how you do anything is how you do everything. I was really watching all of that because that's a very familiar process of just, mm-hmm. so there was all this mm-hmm. attention on how, like, I wasn't picking something and I was doing it wrong and all of this. But then there was this sense of, I loved that kind of overview reading that we had on the first day or at the start of it. And I have that on a loop in my recordings. And there's some line in there that's so beautiful about, I think it's mindfulness centered on the body, that just, that's like, that's the practice, like just such a powerful, beautiful practice. It says it much better than that, but it's such a beautiful line, and it just really jumped out at me. And I was realizing, like, as the voices were there in that freak out conversation, there was also just, I kept coming back to loving that line. And what was dropping in was this sense of like wanting to go through life, like we talk about sometimes, like the Buddha is, you know, here with me as I'm going mm-hmm. around. Cause, you know, mm-hmm. and I always love that. I mean, sometimes there's a sense of, like, you know, oh boy, that would be, you know, awful seeing, you know, all the junctures where I wouldn't want the Buddha to see, like, well, my God, how am I letting the voices, you know, whatever and all that, right? But it's such a powerful thing. So I've been playing with it. And I feel like there's still kind of a, like, I haven't really committed that that's my practice, because, you know, then I can still feel a little bad, like I haven't really committed to a practice, and I won't fail because I haven't totally settled on. So it's that, like, next step, I think, that you and Ashwini were just talking about of, okay, so we get our best sense of hearing the guidance and then to really act from it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
Well, because, Jen, what you just pointed at is huge. So if I never really commit to something, I won't really fail. And what that translates into is I won't fail in a big way. I'll fail every day. I won't fail in some imaginary at the end of the month when I didn't do it way. I will fail every day of the month.
Yeah, because every day there can, you know, there can be a, I feel bad, I'm not really fully participating. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
It's so good for conditioning, right? Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, yeah. And so is that your commitment?
Yeah, I was like, so I guess I need to just say that's the commitment, huh? Yeah. Oh, but is that the right one? I mean, there was this other idea.
If what I'm understanding is you're going to commit to watching how those voices stop you from taking care of yourself, is that what you're talking about?
Right. I guess as if the Buddha is here with me, like, yeah, and that's the place that I can do the exercises from and record from. So, yes, it's as perfect a place as anything else, right? So, yes, that is
Because what could take better care of you than putting those voices, those negative voices out of business? Nothing. I mean, that's way up there on the – I mean, whatever we do – in an exercise like this, in a process like this, is going to come to the same thing. I mean, if I'm going to drink less coffee or, meditate every day or whatever the get to bed on time, whatever it is, I'm going to have to face those same voices that you're describing. So you're going to take the middle person out of it and just focus directly on all day long. When you want to do something, you're watching how those voices do what they do to stop you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like as if the Buddha is there. That's that juncture that really highlights what the voices are doing.
Yeah.
Because if the Buddha were here with me, I would be really, probably much more conscious and different about how I would relate to those voices, right?
That's right. And what you wouldn't be doing if the Buddha were there, is hiding what the voices are doing.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's the feeling bad because the voices are there. Like, Buddha, there they are. They're talking to me. Let me tell you what they're saying. I need to focus on you. I need to focus on presence and clarity. I need to be here. I want to be here. I choose to be here. Yeah. Not just let them turn that image of the Buddha being with you as a guilty conscience, because that would be a tremendous coup for them, right? But as support, so you never have to be at the mercy of those voices again, because you have the power of awake with you to turn to support you, to encourage you.
Oh, thank you. That's so helpful. I know we need to go just to kind of say that back, because that's really helpful. Because yes, I can see that could be a place of like somehow I need to do everything, you know, quote perfectly or something. I mean, that's not where it comes from. Kindness and love and awake, as you say, being that
and
presence
strength,
with you, but,
right? Strength
and
for you.
Strength.
It's like I'm going under. I need help here. And you turn to the Buddha, the wisdom, love, and compassion to strengthen you. And it's just as Julian started us out. The moment you have that thought, you are where you want to be. And from there, you can watch what that process is doing. And in that way, dismantle it.
Mm. Okay, well, I've made my commitment, and I have great things to practice with. Thank you so much.
There you go. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you both.
Thanks, Jen. That's so so inspiring, Sherry, because what I saw in that is the insight gets turned into the same process of conditioning. So the process insight was not making a commitment is what is going to be the problem, because I'll fail every day rather than fail in a big way. So recognizing that the voices are talking me out of making a commitment so I feel bad is such a powerful insight. And then it drops in, let's have the Buddha with us throughout the day or throughout as support And then it gets turned into, if it's put into the same process, having the Buddha with us becomes a commitment that I don't make. It just folds it right back into the process.
Yeah, yeah.
And to realize that that's what it's doing, that the information from life is really make any commitment. It doesn't matter what commitment you make, just make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Because as yeah. long as it's going to talk to you about not making a commitment or making a commitment, you're never going to make the commitment.
Yes, yes. And just when you were reflecting that back, what I saw is what we're describing is the movement from the self-hating ego position of life is out to get you. Right? Life is out. Yeah. Punishment is right around the corner because that's what it's doing to us all the time. So, of course, it wants us to believe that that's happening somewhere other than in our own head, right? That's mm-hmm. really the way life is. You know, you could make a mistake. You're going to do it wrong. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to be – and so, of course, it would turn the Buddha into the school marm from hell who's right there hovering over your desk with a ruler ready mm-hmm. to smack you. And in fact, seeing the Buddha as wisdom, love, and compassion of life that wants us to stop this suffering and get here and realize we're in the Garden of Eden, kids. Let's wake up. Let's feel that joy and appreciate this and start cleaning up the messes.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Well, it looks like we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next
All right.
caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Had to get off speakerphone.
Right
I didn't think I,
yep,
didn't
yep.
think I was going to get
Brad.
On.
I heard you in there on speaker. Hello.
Oh, how are you both?
Excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing okay.
I spoke for us, Winnie,
you know?
But I can tell by her voice she's fabulous. So, but you,
awesome.
How are you?
I'm great. You know, since I started back with this annual retreat, I've cut out a real wicked piece of karma. I mean, obviously, I'm working on the process that we're dealing with now, but I've cut out something else entirely, which is kind of revamped and rekindled my practice. So I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even if I don't get on the call, the support is there because I'm listening and participating.
Yes, exactly right. And because we're all doing exactly the same thing, right? So ego would like us to be isolated and think, oh, well, my situation is different and unique and nobody would understand and I'm out here on my own. And then we get together and realize, oh, my God, we are truly one person. So, mm-hmm.
And that's what's so great with reflective listening, too, to have a buddy to mm-hmm. do that with. Is invaluable. So
mm-hmm.
The challenge I'm facing, coincidentally, as with the previous callers, I'm just trying to have healthier stuff to eat. And so I watch myself bouncing back and forth between the duality of it would be so great if I could do that, then I'd have this nutrition thing mastered. And the other side of it is, oh, my God, that would just take too long. Why would I bother with that?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah. And we can see, we can get a sense of who's involved there, right? And so
yes.
what would it be like to just pick one thing? Not your whole nutrition program, not, you know, healthy eating for the rest of your life, and by the way, your family too. But just what would be one thing that would make a difference? One thing you could substitute for something, you know, put in there something that you know is really good for you, they say. You know, one serving of leafy green vegetables every day does a tremendous amount for the whole, you know, just one thing.
Hey, Sherry?
What might that be?
This is crazy. This is crazy. I'm at work and the fire alarm has gone off, so I've got to end this call.
All right. See you, Brad. Let me know.
But, yeah, I'll be back on soon, okay? Thanks so much.
Okay, all right.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Boy, is it Mercury retrograde.
Oh, Mercury is so retrograde.
All right, well, that brings us to the startling conclusion of another show, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And our assignment was what Brad was talking about. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Your assignment, rearrange the voices on two sides of the duality. Which aspects of ego do you see on each side? Record and listen. Example, on one side, I should exercise, responsible. Second side, I've got way too much to do to exercise, stressed.
All right.
All right.
Take care. The fun continues. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Sherry. Go happy.
All right. Bye-bye.